Each week, we present a special guest star answering the questionnaire. And we give them two segments. The only rule is that you can't use the same band twice. And we get a glimpse into the musical loves and hates of our special guest star. And this is very exciting. Because this week, joining us for Bands of Your Life is the fourth muser from Fox 4. It's Mike Ducey.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, musers. It's great to hear your voices. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great.
We're doing great. It's great to hear your voice. Thank you for doing this. We know that music is very important to you, so I'm sure you put a lot of thought into this.
Well, Craig, that's good that you would think that. First of all, let me thank you guys for all appearing on our show here during lockdown. Each of you has done at least one Zoom call. Junior did a second one with us last week, so thanks for all the help you've given us. And you guys have been doing a great job during these challenging, unpredictable, unprecedented times. But yeah, you know, I promoted on Twitter last night that I would be on today, and I got the usual positive feedback from the P1s wondering if Tommy Dorsey and Glenn Miller and Lawrence Welk would figure prominently in my list today. I know you guys, part of what makes your show so great is the fact that you know how to tease things. You know how to sell segments. And this is not going to sound like a great tease off the top, but I'm going to put this disclaimer out there. I'm going to tell you this won't necessarily be the most interesting list that you've had.
Okay.
But I think it'll be the most relatable. Okay. I'm not trying to impress some snobbish music critic. This is the last time I looked, this is still America, damn it, where we can listen to whatever we want to.
That's right.
P1s, I want you to remember this. When a certain member of this AM morning show is mocking this list as being generic here in a minute, which will happen, he is also mocking you. He is also mocking you.
That's right.
So
you need
cheap.
To call him
Such
out.
Such a
that's
cheap
good.
Ploy, but it always seems to work.
As being generic. We've
before
it's been
we start,
so
can
fun.
I ask you,
yeah,
was this
ahead,
was this difficult, or did you have quick answers for all of them?
You know, it's kind of disturbed me how easy it was once I really started to think about it, because I'd listen to the segment just about every week, and the greatness of the segment is you tend to play along as you're listening, and I'm thinking, man, what would I choose for this or that one? As we get into it, there were a few categories that I really struggled with, but a lot of them seemed pretty obvious to me. You know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s in the heyday of AM top 40 radio. We talk about that a lot when I'm on, and we've had a lot of fun with that through the years. So obviously my tastes were formed by those bands and those individual artists that I grew up listening to. But you know, I've grown to enjoy some country music as I've gotten older. I've appreciated some more contemporary acts that you might not necessarily think that I would. You know, I have a Spotify playlist that I like to call Songs That I Enjoy, and it has a little bit of a variety. It has some Katy Perry on it and some Harry Styles and, you know, some stuff that the kids are listening to as well, but this is definitely going to have a classic rock or a classic hits bent to it, that's for sure.
All right, we'll let you take us through it, and remember the only rule, can't use the same band twice. And let's get to Mike's list.
Well, I believe, Craig, we start with Band I Hate. Is that
yes.
correct? And
correct.
This might be the toughest category for me because, you know, like everybody, there are songs that when I hear them, I cringe, even from acts that I like. You know, I love Bob Seger, but if I hear old time rock and roll one more time, you know, I'm going to end it all. I like the Doobie Brothers, but when I hear listen to the music, it makes me want to drive the car off the road. Now, if I don't like a band or an individual, I just tend not to listen to them. So I'm not terribly well versed in the music of a band that I'm listing here as the band that I hate, but since we have this category on the list, I'm going to put this band out there. It's a group that's held up by many as one of the groundbreaking bands in rock and roll history, a gold standard classic rock group. And again, I don't really care enough about them to hate them, but for the sake of getting this segment underway, I will list the band that I hate as Pink Floyd.
Wow.
Oh. Dang, man.
Cray Trey, play some Pink Floyd.
He's trying to.
Hello, is there
Now, how could anyone not find that catchy, right? Boy, that's
Boy,
a toe tapper, isn't it?
Pink Floyd.
Yeah, I like
right
it, too.
Right off the top.
This Maybe part it's because is a beating, I didn't... though.
Maybe it's because I didn't smoke enough weed, and perhaps, given the way my lifestyle has changed through the years, if I gave Pink Floyd another chance now, I might like them more. But I never, again, I don't hate them. I don't care enough about them to hate them. But yeah. I just never really got
never really
it.
Got
All
it.
You guys disagree with that one?
You don't hate them, but they are the band that you hate.
For the purposes of this segment, all of you are in love with Pink Floyd or just kind of indifferent?
I like them. I don't know if I absolutely love them. I like them.
I love them.
So you started telling us that you started smoking pot, what, 3 years ago?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily smoking, but, you know, there are different ways to enjoy now.
Yeah, Ducey pulled me aside and said, hey, listen, I'm faking an enlarged prostate so I can get a medical dispensary card.
Faking one? How do you fake one?
I don't know. He was faking a swollen prostate. He said he was putting something in him down there to make it feel like a prostate.
Gordon needed first-hand proof, if you know what I mean. So
he encouraged me to get my hand down there and work him like a puppet. Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, gentlemen, the band that, for the sake of this segment, I will say that I hate is Pink Floyd.
Okay.
All right. This survey starts in such a negative way as we go from band I hate to band that I think is overrated. And I could list any of a number of bands that I would consider that are considered heavy metal. That I think just by the definition of being in that genre are overrated because the Catman of the Americas and I are on opposite sides of the musical spectrum when it comes to this. So whether it's Metallica or Judas Priest or Black Sabbath or even AC/DC for the most part, I've never wasted much time listening to these types of bands where apparently just being loud is the goal. So I think that type of music in general is overrated. But the band I'm going to choose as the one I think is most overrated, because it was a very popular band back in, you know, my high school, early college days. It doesn't necessarily fit the heavy metal genre. It's more of a pop band, a gimmick band. But I know a lot of guys, a lot of people love these guys. The band I always considered to be extremely overrated was Kiss.
Yeah, way to go, Ducey.
I don't understand why you guys hate on Kiss all
Finally
the time.
Finally have support for a joke band that just got a lot of pub because they had cool outfits.
This is a great song.
They had two catchy songs.
Was this one of them?
Yeah. I give him a pass on this one.
What's the other one?
What's that one?
I Was Made for Loving You.
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty catchy song.
I like that song.
What about Dr. Love? You don't like Dr. Love?
No.
This is when
you know, the only Kiss song I really like, the only Kiss song that I really will keep on if it comes on the radio, and that song is Beth, is the beautiful ballad.
You like that? See, that one always...
I do like that.
Drove my D into the ground.
Sounds like a song off a bad commercial.
It just sounds... Beth, I hear you calling, but I got diagnosed this morning.
Wow. Well, as my list goes on, you're going to understand why I enjoy songs like Beth. That's a beautiful song, I think, from a band that is highly overrated.
I'm with
band
you.
Is Kiss. I didn't know that Georgie shared that sentiment. I guess
Oh, yeah, he hates him. Yeah, I've been fighting Kiss fans for years.
Marge originally recorded this.
How's she doing, by the way? I haven't heard from her in a while.
I guess you haven't heard the bad news.
Is she ever doing well?
Is she doing less well than usual, I guess, is the question.
She got the COVID.
Frank, how are we doing
accident.
On time here? I want to make sure we're doing all right.
Let's get a couple more in this segment. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. The band I think is underappreciated. You know, as I put this list together, I realize how many hard rockers I'm going to alienate because of the way this is starting. I ripped two staples of classic rock, and now for my underappreciated artist, I'm going to go with mostly soft rock acts. You know, as honorable mention for underappreciated, I think Simon and Garfunkel is underappreciated. This isn't the band I'm going with or the group, but I think they're beloved by millions, I know, but I don't think they're really remembered as an all-time Mount Rushmore type great band, and you could make that argument. I think, and get ready to chuckle, I think John Denver is underappreciated.
I agree with that.
Folk icon.
I agree with that.
Great voice.
In the 70s and 80s. And
I always thought he looked like he was the little kid from the Brady Bunch growing up. Oliver, that little cousin they had.
Yeah, that little Brett.
It looked like when he grew up, he became John Denver.
Well, you'll forgive me.
John
that
Denver
I,
was
I'm
an
carrying...
adult at the same time he was
right,
on TV.
I'm with you there.
I'm paying more attention to the music than the look in this segment, if that's okay with you guys. I mean, we can change
yes.
the...
Name one good song John Denver had.
Rocky Mountain High.
Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy.
Oh, man.
No, Take Me Home, Country Roads. That's a great record.
Yeah, that was a hickory stump to the nuts to me.
He was great.
You know, I think a singer like Alison Krauss is underrated, you know, as a more contemporary artist. I love her. I know Brandi Carlile's become more popular, but I've only kind of recently become aware of her stuff, and I think maybe she's a bit underappreciated too. But for the band Go-Go's. I'm going to list, it's one that, you know, did have a lot of hits in the 70s and 80s, and many are still played today, but I think they're underappreciated. They've endured in a really impressive way, and it's a bit surprising to me that I do consider them underappreciated, but I think in general they are. And that band, gentlemen, is called America.
Oh, yeah.
Like them.
I like them.
We saw them at training camp. Did you guys go with me? Were you there for that?
No.
Okay, that was just me. Yeah,
they
were great.
They do that Horse with No Name song.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a beat.
That's a bit of a thrust. Is,
yeah. Yes, that's a huge thrust.
Did you see them at
that
the
is
fair?
My least favorite hit of theirs, there's no doubt. And it's probably their best-known song, but... Sister Golden Hair is a song that's great. Still played on classic rock radio. I don't know, just so easy to listen to, great harmonies, just a pleasing folk sound. Yeah. Corby did a segment on this many years ago, and it struck a chord with me. And in college, I may or may not have briefly been part of a trio that sort of specialized in America covers. I'd rather not get into that right now.
Really?
Really?
I'd love to hear some of that.
Possible. Anyway, the band that I feel is underappreciated in spite of all their fine work is that band called America.
I'm with you there. All
right.
I like that.
Let's get into the band I love. And this is where it gets controversial on my list, gentlemen. When you've listened to as much music as I have through the years, obviously the Beatles are going to figure prominently into my survey, and that'll come up here in a minute. I could have used them for this category and several others. I could have used U2. And it's funny, growing up, you know, when I did, you were either a Beatles guy or a Stones guy. And I was always Beatles. I always thought the Stones were overrated, kind of one-dimensional. Mm. But as I've gotten older and listened to them more and more, I've grown to appreciate the nuances of their music. I don't claim to be an expert on every Stones record. That's for sure. The deeper cuts on their albums. But, you know, I think when you hear certain songs of theirs, you know, Waiting on a Friend is one of my favorite songs, regardless of band. You know, you can't tell me that it's a band that's one dimensional. I appreciate their bluesy influence. And so I'm going to go for the band I love, and I know I'm going out on a limb here, the world's greatest rock and roll band, the Rolling Stones. Roll it, Trey.
It's a good one.
All right. Such a great song.
Yep.
You know, horrible song. It's just the more, and again, who can argue with this, really? I suppose Gordon can. But, there's more variety to their music, I think, than people sometimes give them credit for. When you look at the unbelievable,
you know, they can do country pretty well too. They like country, and there are a few songs that they mess with that country is interesting.
We saw them at Soldier Field last summer in Chicago. The first show back after Mick had been out with his heart issue, and it was still a really fun show. They had to take a break or two, I think, to empty their diapers. But other than that, they got through it in about 2 hours. But then I had to do the same. So, you know, we had that in common, about 2 hours and 15 minutes, tidy little show. And it was a lot of fun. So, again, not terribly inventive, but let's go with the Rolling Stones for the band.
The Rolling Stones.
I
love this.
I do think that they are great, but I think that Waiting on a Friend song is a huge beat.
Oh, I love it.
I think that's one of their worst songs.
Oh, I love
what?
It. It's incredible.
I'm not just... white now.
My
oh, see, it's just bad.
He is totally trolling.
You like that?
He's totally trolling right now.
Love it. Yeah. I love that.
Oh,
I love that song. Everything
yeah.
about that song. And Mike, we left off with band that you can listen to over and over again.
Gordon, I'm not waiting on a lady. I'm just waiting on a friend.
That's horrible.
It's great.
Good stuff, Trey. Thank you for bringing us back with that that great cut. You know, a lot of bands could fit into this category of bands or individuals I could listen to over and over again. For better or worse, like a lot of people, I'm a creature of habit musically. I listen to a lot of the same people over and over again. The Stones could fit into that. You know, from country music, I've grown to love George Strait. He wears really well for me. Some consider him generic. Maybe that's why I like him so much. I don't know. I find him really easy to listen to. You know, there are some acts, you know, from R&B that would fit into this category. I could listen to Stevie Wonder or Sam Cooke or Smokey or all day, or Whitney Houston. You know, I love Adele's voice. To me, if I'm going to listen to an act over and over again, the band or the individual, you know, they have to have, you know, voice or voices that really, as I said, wear well, that are pleasing to my ear. And, you know, I know on this radio station, in certain day parts anyway, it is not trendy or hip to like probably the greatest American band, most popular American band either, a little group called the Eagles. And while I love that band, I was watching their concert on ESPN last night that was on there for like the 20th time, but it's just, I don't know, it's just a so comforting to me to hear them. And I do like the band, the Eagles, but specifically the musical artist that I'm choosing that I could listen to over and over again is from that band, and he is Dallas's very own Don Henley.
Good choice.
Yeah, awesome.
This is a beautiful song called Talking to the Moon. If I could hear the playback better, I'd walk up that ramp and hit the post for you, but I don't want to. But, you know, obviously
he's
Henley's
good.
Had to work. Oh, God.
Here we go.
I mean, he's good. He doesn't have a good voice, but he's, I mean, I guess he can play drums. He's not really known for his voice.
that instrument, and I'm speaking of his voice, is really impressive. I mean, it's so unique, I think. And obviously he's had to work. Those of us who do sing, and I don't want to make a big deal about the fact that I sing from time to time, but those of us who do sing know that we have to train the voice. But in Henley's case, God just gave him something that just doesn't come along that often. And
one of the greatest, you know, voices ever in rock music.
Yep.
It is. And watching that show at the Forum, which is probably 2 years old, last night, he's managed to take pretty good care of it. It still sounds good. I don't know about you guys, but when I hear, like, even McCartney now, it's tough to listen to him sometimes because he's still trying to sing those songs in the same key, and they're so high, and the voice just kind of ages, and it makes it more difficult.
Yeah, this is beautiful. Crank this up, Craig Trey.
This wasn't necessarily a hit, but Talking to the Moon.
Should have got
Don Henley.
On the ticket.
On a radio station. I was just talking to the moon. Isn't that pretty?
Beautiful.
Does it help when I keep talking over it? Is that good?
You know, I was sitting down talking with Don Henley recently when he was up in studio with the Hardline.
About 15 years ago, but
and,
go ahead.
And he was saying that it's a lot more difficult now. He has to really almost kind of train his voice up to get out about 15 songs, he says, to sing. And his voice is like worn out and he has to really rest it.
Wow.
As compared to the old days when they could play and sing every single night. But he has to really take care of it now, he said. That was just part of my personal conversation that I had with him.
That's when you barged in on the Hardlines interview with him.
Let's de-emphasize that part of it.
And when Don Henley got annoyed by you.
He didn't get annoyed by me.
All right,
he
Mike.
Actually, he loved me. He and I are good friends.
As much as I idolize him, I don't think I would want to meet him because I would be so intimidated. And he does come off as somebody who wouldn't be terribly impressed by me. And so,
who does?
That's a good point. He's in a very large group in that way.
You don't know. He lives here. He may be a Fox 4 consumer. He may live for your sportscasts.
Yeah. I don't like this.
I doubt if he's a Fox guy. That's just a hunch. But I, you know, his most successful solo album, End of the Innocents, was one of my favorite records of all time. Heart of the Matter is one of my favorite songs. And good stuff from Don Henley, the guy I could listen to over and over and over and over again. All right.
Beauty.
Well, he's rifling through a lot of paperwork back there.
We move on.
Oh, hey, it's Rush Limbaugh.
Hey, thanks to Trey for setting up my system here. I appreciate it, by the way.
Why are you padding for time?
From Trey. The band that made me fall in love with music. Okay. This pick is perhaps the most predictable. If this thing can get more predictable than it already has, this is the most predictable and perhaps generic, but it's the pick that, for which I will apologize the least. My story is so similar to so many others in my age demographic, in that I was the little kid, 5 years old in my case, in the living room with mom and dad, our TV trays there, looking at the big console, black and white TV, my dad looking at me in that disappointed way that he always would. We were tuned into CBS on that Sunday night in February of 1964, along with 73 million others, as on the Ed Sullivan Show, four mop tops from Liverpool made their U.S. TV debut. Roll it. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this song or not. It's called I Want to Hold Your Hand, the Beatles on the ticket. You know, I was, again, not pretending this is at all a unique story, but I was smitten, I was hooked. From that day on, again, as a little kid, I pestered my dad to find every Beatles record he could. That wasn't easy in Bancroft, Iowa, but, you know, I idolized the band, especially Paul, still do. We've all become so familiar with the story by now, but the category is the band that made me fall in love with music, and this band has to be it because the Beatles introduced me to the concept of music radio, top 40 radio, and that shaped my musical tastes. And pretty soon I was the kid with the transistor radio in his room at night, picking up those 50,000 watt clear channel stations from Chicago and New York and Detroit and yes, San Antonio, Craig, and places I wouldn't visit in any other way. But you know, from
Chicago,
the enormous 89.
Mario's with us again.
From Ed Sullivan that night until you know, I was almost a teenager, every hour spent listening to radio was basically an hour waiting for a Beatles record to come on. And obviously,
where were you when you found out John Lennon was killed?
The most influential band in the history of popular music. I was in college and watching Monday Night Football with everybody else. That horrible news came down from Howard Cosell.
Way to go, Gord.
The band that helped me fall. Thanks.
One of the best singers of all time.
Okay, here's the audio.
Dead on arrival.
That's right.
I remember Howard Cosell.
Why did he have to dress it up like that?
Just like the Cardinals after they lost to Pittsburgh.
Jim Hunt offense is terrible.
And I think Frank Gifford's comeback was third and seven. Again, the Beatles, the band that helped me fall in love with music. And
that
made
was my
me fall
in
love
too.
With music.
Did Cosell say that John Lennon was the most popular of all the Beatles? He said something like that.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. It's
a questionable
claim. I don't agree with that, but that's obviously a debate for another day. Who did you guys have? George, you had the Beatles. Who did you guys, Craig and Gordon, have?
The one that made me fall in love was Tom Petty. That's the first rock album that I can remember. It was actually an 8-track tape that I just wore out, and that jump-started my love.
Mine was Jack Klugman's spoken word album.
What was yours, Gordon? What was it?
I really don't remember. Whatever answer popped into my head right before the segment.
All right, I'm going to figure out a way to post everybody's results. I may do it on my blog or something like that. But I'll.
You still have a blog?
Maybe. Well, I haven't posted like in 5 years, but maybe on theticket.com, but we'll post everybody's list. All right, we got to slightly pick up the pace here, Mike.
All right,
next
here
for
we go.
You is Band
That Changed My Life. Gotcha. Thank you very much.
There's the Carmen Ponce Award.
I could put the Beatles. I could put the Beatles in this category, but you know this. I'm going to put the Band That Changed My Life as one that sort of brought the generations together in my family. I've talked about this, I know, with Gordon before, maybe with all your guys. My mom was a great musician in her own right, piano player, great singer. She taught herself to play the guitar. And when you're a kid and your mom is the one playing guitar at mass, it gets a little awkward sometimes. Our tastes in popular music didn't always sync up, let's put it that way. But there was an artist who burst on the scene in the late 60s, early 70s, and I remember the first time mom and I heard one of his songs on the radio, and we both loved it, and I've loved this artist ever since.
Jim Croce.
Outstanding. It's close. It's close, Gordon. Stay with me. A singer and songwriter who I do think is iconic in his own right. Gordon finds him boring, but I think he's greatness. The artist who, in kind of a unique way, changed my life is James Taylor.
Awesome.
Love him.
You know, I do think Fire and Rain is a top five all-time song for me. It's a little heavy.
And that sounds nothing like James Taylor.
And if you're like certain hosts who can't handle that type of emotion, you know, you can't deal with it, that's fine. But some of us can.
So clear.
I know. So he is great.
The great JT. Buy the record or download the record Hourglass that didn't really have any individual hits on it, but it won Best Pop Album in 98, won the Grammy. Hourglass from James Taylor. Good stuff that might be new to you from him, although it's been around a long time. The band that surprised me is an individual, actually, as well. I was not able to see this act live, but this is a performer when I was growing up who a lot of us, you know, in my age considered to be a joke, because he was the old guy on Johnny Carson who was washed up and would sit there on the couch with Dom DeLuise and make stupid jokes and maybe do a cover of a current song that just was cringeworthy. But when I started to really explore this guy's music and his catalog and his incredible voice, I think along with McCartney, they're the two best voices in the history of popular music. The musical icon who surprised me once I got to know him, yes, that would be Frank Sinatra.
Oh, Blue Eyes, baby.
I knew you'd have a crooner on your list. Fly me
to the moon. I heard you wonder yesterday if they'd all be crooners. This is the only one. I mean, it's... Let me see what spring man, is like on it's easy to get lost in there, the fact that the guy can just flat sing. I mean, he could just flat sing, baby. You know what I'm saying? But the tone is so pure and just amazing. Again, once I took the time to get to know it.
I still love Songs for Swinging Lovers. And what was that other album around that time? It was really, really great. Nelson Riddle was doing all these things with him. And I went through a huge Sinatra phase.
And
I actually saw him live. I saw Sinatra live.
Wow, that's something.
Where? Yes. I want to say he came to Will Rogers Auditorium.
Okay.
I can't remember where he played. Maybe it's Fair Park or somewhere. I don't know. But it was a birthday gift to me. And she and I went down to see
that's great.
Frank Sinatra. And, man, that was an experience of a lifetime. And he passed away just a couple years after that, I think.
Yeah.
Not too long after that. But I actually got to see Frank Sinatra.
One of our sports photographers at the time, Larry Rodriguez, who you guys might know, ran into Sinatra. Sinatra was at the Team Hotel in Detroit. This is like late 80s. Sinatra walks through the lobby. Larry walks up as close as you can get to Sinatra and starts singing, you know, Fly Me to the Moon or something. And Sinatra pauses, looks at Larry, says, kid, you don't know how to sing and you don't know how to dress either. And he walks on.
Wow. Awesome. Sound by Sinatra.
All right. Let's zip through these here. The guilty pleasure is what we are to at this point, I think.
Yes.
I there are a lot that I could put on here, frankly, because I like some individuals and groups who many would consider cheesy. I kind of enjoy Miley Cyrus from time to time. Mm. You know, One Direction, Cher, certainly. I can acknowledge the greatness of, but this guy that I'm putting down as my guilty pleasure, I've seen in concert 3 or 4 times. He had some big records, great ballads in the 70s, early 80s, became popular when I was in high school. I was mocked for liking him then. I'm mocked for liking him now. His biggest hit, his breakout hit, went something like this. I remember all my life, raining down as cold as ice, shadows of a man, a face through a window, crying in the night. Oh, Mandy, where you came, everybody, and you gave without taking, but I sent you away.
Something.
Sent you away.
Mandy.
Manilow's a guilty pleasure for me. Manilow is a guilty pleasure, was when he first burst on the scene, and still is. When I hear his songs, I enjoy them very much. Great entertainer and good artist.
He's still around?
Guys, thoughts on Manilow?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like him.
His long-term partner died or something, right?
Something like that.
Seems like we had some bad Manilow news in the past few years.
I always like this song.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
Good, great pillow-punching song.
What'd you say? Pillow-biting song. What'd you
pillow
say?
Pillow-punching. It's your phrase. You coined that phrase.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
We don't.
All right, two categories to go here on Ticket AM and FM. the band I should have seen by now, probably the easiest category for me, because I've really grown to appreciate this act, and he is known as maybe the greatest live rock and roll performer ever. There was a time I didn't like him. I couldn't get past the voice and some of the quirks, but now I consider myself a big fan, and even some of his more recent stuff that hasn't been all that popular on the radio or anything, I like. But considering that, again, that he's maybe the best live experience in music, there's no excuse for me not to have seen him.
Oh, no.
Although George and I almost saw Clarence Clemons perform the national anthem at the NBA Finals. I have never seen live
the man's sax player.
Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen, the band I should have seen, the man I should have seen by now.
Yeah, I finally saw him live 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
We played out at Reunion.
Yeah, out at that park that night. It was phenomenal.
I saw that too.
He lives up to the live hype.
When I got lockjaw down in the draw.
Yeah, he does sound like he has lockjaw.
I think it would be fun to see that Broadway show, assuming that Broadway ever comes back, that he's doing that intimate show there as well. So, should have seen
Doesn't
Bruce
it seem
by
like
now and will.
Ben Affleck should play him if they ever do like a movie of Bruce's life. Ben Affleck kind of looks like him.
Yeah.
Same lockjaw.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that, Gordon. Thanks. And finally,
there you go.
Great band to see live. You know, the Stones were good, as I said. I've been fortunate to see a lot of the acts that I care about, McCartney and James Taylor and the Stones that I mentioned. And I assume the Musers have seen this band many, many, many times. I've only seen them once. But I'm really glad I did, and I'm sure they're not as high energy as they used to be, but they were really good in New Orleans about 2 years ago now. Thoroughly enjoyed the presentation by those Irish boys, you two.
Oh. The Angel of Harlem.
Like Bruce, tremendous live band.
Yeah.
Just tremendous.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't hardly move around except for Bono.
Oh, my God. Well, Larry doesn't move around a lot, true, because he's playing the drums. But Edge, they all walk all over the place. That's like the main thing about their latest shows is that they're all over the arena.
They even walk up to a scoreboard.
In fact, I would say they're the least stationary band going. They go.
You're ridiculous. That's crazy.
That's
you haven't seen
plan.
Them since the 90s.
Edge walks a little bit.
No, Gordon.
And Bono runs around.
Gordon, they all move, even Larry, all over the arena.
I don't know about that.
Pop-up stages, the long runway, the giant video board that they
go up
in.
Yeah, they'll walk out to the middle stage there for a couple songs.
No, you obviously haven't seen them in like 20 years.
That's clearly not the same as like Pete Townsend windmilling on guitar and all that he does. And I mean,
yeah, they don't jump up and down.
Yeah, well, they don't do that, but they don't just stand there. And they're an incredible live act, and you know this.
They're kind of like the Eagles. You can accuse them of loitering on stage.
They're the exact opposite of the Eagles when it comes to a live show. And I love the Eagles, but they're not even close.
Even Don Henley said he had to laugh at that criticism of the Beatles, of the Eagles.
Actually, as we were walking up to the Superdome for the U2 show, on the marquee it said, under U2, least stationary band going.
No, it did not.
You win this argument. Thanks for having me on, guys. I enjoyed it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Mike.
Awesome job. Thank you for doing that. That's Mike Ducey from Fox 4, Bands of Your Life. And I have a major announcement. Guess who's going to join us next week as our special guest superstar?
Do we have confirmation?
This ought to be a really great list. Generation X Davey.
Really?
Yes. Now,
this is non-disclosure.
That'll be an eclectic list.
Oh, yeah.
So next week, Gen X Davey with us in Bands of Your Life.